Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Bink Sunday. Jay Binkley, Kramer, Crame Dog, producing the operation. Melvin Gordon is a key fixture to the Chargers. Matter of fact, when you look at the triplets with Keenan Allen, Phillip Rivers, and Melvin Gordon, they're considered one of the best triplets in the National Football League. Now, Melvin Gordon wants more money. He wants to be paid. But he does say he hopes to end up a Charger.
You know, I want to end up with a Charger. That's my home, you know. Like I said, I'm not going to sit here and be like, man, I don't want to go back to the Chargers. Like, that's the team who blessed me with an opportunity. And they started my life. They changed my life. You know, that out of all 32 teams, that was the team that called. And I can't forget them for that. But like I said, man, it's an opportunity right now where I know I need to take advantage of it. And I want to get paid, and that's just kind of what it is, you know. Awesome. And hopefully I end up a Charger. That's the goal. I want to end as a Charger.
Be careful what you wish for, though, because look at Le'Veon Bell. He ended up having to sit out a year. I think I used to be a big advocate of the running back position and considered a position of strength for a team. But what we've seen is more and more running backs are a dime a dozen. I'll never forget when the Chiefs paid Priest Holmes, even though they had LJ sitting right here ready to play. Here's Melvin Gordon that you can't easily replace an elite back.
Clearly, you've seen what happened when Zeke was out. It was a completely different team. You can replace average backs, yeah, and just plug them in. But a great back is, you can't just replace a great back. And people think you can do that, and it's just, you can't. It'll be a difference. It'll be a difference, man. And, we do so much, for people to even, try to devalue us. We block. We got to run the ball. We got to pick up protections. We have to catch the ball. We have to do what receivers do. We have to do our thing. There's so much that goes through us. I tell people the hardest position outside of running back is quarterback. That's the only, because you have to know so much. Outside of that, running back is the next hardest position on the field, and we should get paid as such.
I would put corner as tougher than that because you're on an island. You're facing elite talent at wide receiver because that's where the elite positions are in the NFL, and you're going backwards. Now, Melvin Gordon said you can't replace running backs. Well, Le'Veon Bell's last year with the Pittsburgh Steelers, it was 2017. He didn't play last year. 1,291 yards rushing, 4 yards per carry. Now, James Conner, who they had replacing him, made the Pro Bowl last year. James Conner was a third-round pick out of Pittsburgh for the Steelers. He had 973 last year, but he averaged 4.5 yards per carry. That's half a yard more than Le'Veon Bell did. Now, as far as receiving, Conner, 55 for 497, 9 yards per reception. You go to Le'Veon Bell, very productive year, 85 for 655, but 7.5 yards per reception. So 1.3 yards per reception more than that. Kareem Hunt, when you want to compare Kareem Hunt with what Damien Williams did, I'm not saying Damien Williams is Kareem Hunt, but Damien Williams last year did average for the Kansas City Chiefs slightly better than Kareem Hunt, 5.1 yards per carry. Now, keep in mind, much less carries. Ended up with 50 carries for 256 yards in 2016 for the Chiefs. Kareem Hunt, on the other hand, I will say this about him. He does dominate against the New England Patriots. That's where I do think he missed him. But the running back position is not what we think it is, and guys can be easily replaced. And I look at guys like Kareem Hunt, and I think about Damien Williams, and here's a guy like Damien Williams that Andy Reid said is already the starter. Kareem Hunt was averaging 4.6 per in 2018. juxtaposed to Damien Williams going 5.1 yards per carry, 7 yards per reception. Kareem Hunt actually more productive in that at 14.5 yards. But we all know Kareem Hunt was excellent against the Patriots, and that's the thing that bothers me. Yes, we've heard a bunch about Damien Williams. What can he do more than Kareem Hunt? But Kareem Hunt against the Patriots, the two times he played him, 228 yards rushing, one touchdown, 203 yards receiving, three touchdowns. That's 431 yards and four touchdowns in the two games that he played the Patriots. Yes, Damien Williams was good against the Patriots, but I will say that. But I also will say that running backs are easily replaced before you pay him the big-time money. Now, it's going to be running back by committee. It's one of the positions I'm looking forward to seeing in training camp. We'll see what Darwin Thompson can do. So far, so good. The reviews on him. Carlos Hyde. And we know what these guys can do. They can all block. They can all also catch out of the backfield. All of them good receivers in their own right. And that's what Andy Reid wants. He wants you to be able to block, first and foremost, because you got to block for Patrick Mahomes. If he's going to put a running back there, they have to be able to max protect for Patrick Mahomes. Catching the ball out of the backfield, something Andy Reid really treasures with his running backs. But to sit here and say that running backs aren't easily replaced, unfortunately they are. Because you got guys like Chris Carson, 7th-round pick at Oklahoma State 2 years ago, going for 1,000 this year in Seattle. Undrafted Arian Foster, we know what he did in his career. Priest Holmes, look what he did. He was not valued that highly coming out of college. Jamal Charles wasn't a first-rounder, believe it or not. People would like to say it, third-rounder for him. Kareem Hunt, third-rounder. So it's more replaceable than I think Melvin Gordon considers. And Melvin Gordon's a big part of the Chargers. And I will say this. I know that people get up for the Broncos week. They get up for Raiders week. The team to circle is the Chargers. Team that was 12-4, beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead. Albeit with the new rules of going back and replaying pass interference, they're on 3rd and 10 instead of a touchdown because of the push off. Regardless, Eric Berry wasn't in there. Tyrann Mathieu will be in there this year. Be much different. Chiefs beat the Chargers in the opening week, but that's the team to look out for. That's the team that is still everybody's sexy pick are the Los Angeles Chargers. Everybody's still thinking they got something. Last year, John Elway had said, that's the team to watch out for. And Anthony Lynn, the coach of Chargers, was smart enough to say, no, we got to stop the Kansas City Chiefs. Good Morning Football this past week. Kyle Brandt, Kay Adams, and Nate Burleson were discussing the Chargers, and Kay Adams think this ought to be the team the Chiefs look out for.
Who is the team within this division that can give the Chiefs a run for their money?
Well, let's look at a control, all right? We're talking about the AFC. The team to beat is the Patriots. It's the Patriots, all right?
Okay.
So they both played the Patriots, all right? The Chiefs were at home. They went all the way to overtime. If they won the coin toss, maybe go to the Super Bowl. The Chargers got absolutely destroyed. It was a terrible, terrible game. I'm still saying it's the Chiefs. They did lose at home to the Chargers. However, guys, I hate to keep bringing this up because I feel like it's a little unfair. I still can't invest in the Chargers as a Super Bowl team until they have a home field advantage. Mm-hmm. They don't have one. That is a tangible disadvantage that they have in a very small stadium that often has a lot of the visiting team's fans. And if you juxtapose that against Arrowhead, I'm still going to give it to the Chiefs.
It's also their first year after a move. So many ups and downs. They still dealt with injuries. I think if they had a full-strength Melvin Gordon down the stretch, it would be a different story. So I think it's the Chiefs to beat. You can't take respect from the team that got there and got further than everybody else in the division. But the Chargers, a 12-4 team, one that beat them at Arrowhead. That's the game. That New England game, that one's out the window for me. The one that mattered to me was at Arrowhead, a game that everyone thought there's no chance that they could win because historically it didn't happen, and they slayed that dragon. I think they take another step. They've been very quiet this offseason. Getting healthy, adding depth, which is so important as we've learned from the Eagles on their Super Bowl run. This is a team that's going to be really tough for the Chiefs to get by, especially given all the adversity they have.
Yeah, no, I haven't forgotten about that loss to the Patriots. I mean, I feel like the Chargers, they got their nose bloodied, and it starts with the head coach. It's similar to Sean McVay facing Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl, Anthony Lynn facing Bill Belichick in the playoffs. Oftentimes, you got to look across the field and see an absolute great in the coaching realm and really come to a realization that I don't have what it takes. As much as I love Anthony Lynn, I met him on a few occasions. One of those guys that I look at and I say, I wish I played for you. I feel like he knows this offseason he has to get better. Because if he's in that situation again, you can't be intimidated by the intelligence of Bill Belichick and falter under the pressure.
So, once again, Chargers love. And I've seen it a million times. Everybody's talking about the Chargers, and they're talking about the Chiefs' defense, holding them back, without mentioning Steve Spagnuolo. Now, I'm not saying Steve Spagnuolo end-all, be-all, but I do think a year off helps Spags. He talked about going to NFL films and watching stuff near his home in Philadelphia. He assembled an all-star cast with Brendan Daly, Matt House. I mean, here's a guy at linebacker coach, was one of the best defensive coordinators in the nation last year in college. Six fewest points given up per game. Held Missouri to one first down. He's just your linebacker coach, which I think eventually will be a defensive coordinator. The Chiefs have often promoted guys on the offensive side of the ball to be NFL head coaches, Peterson and Nagy, and probably soon to be Eric Bieniemy. But defense, no one's getting promoted. No one wants them. I think it's different now. Brendan Daly, Matt House, names to watch with the Kansas City Chiefs on that defense. But that's the biggest difference. The Chiefs have beat the Chargers 9 out of 10 times. If they don't luck out and beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead, it's 10 out of 10 the Chiefs have beaten them. And the time before that, when the Chiefs lost, was overtime. When you remember, they put a JV squad. Chase Daniel took the Chargers to overtime a couple of years ago. So Chargers don't worry me. Broncos don't worry me. This is the Chiefs division. They've won 3 straight years. Andy Reid has a mastery on this division. There's no reason to talk Chargers, and the Chiefs don't have adversity. We'll find out. But Tyreek Hill's suspension should come down this week, if there is even one at all. But it's still a deep position at wide receiver. The Chiefs do have the reigning MVP at quarterback that could take other wide receivers and elevate their talent. Ask Albert Wilson and the contract he got after playing with Mahomes a couple of years ago. Not worried about the Chargers. Not worried at all. The Chiefs have a TV show called The Franchise that's every other week on Fox Sports, Facebook, YouTube. You can watch it several different ways, kind of like a Hard Knocks that the Kansas City Chiefs are doing. And Brett Veach, there was audio on him rolling to Arrowhead Stadium. I thought he said some interesting things. We talk about that next.
Big Sunday.
So the Chiefs put out a show every other Wednesday called The Franchise. I'm a big fan of Hard Knocks in those type of series. And it's a behind the scenes. Now it's slated to the information they want you to have. But I do find it interesting. I don't know if you've taken the time to watch The Franchise yet, Crane. But you can watch it on Chiefs Facebook, YouTube channel, everything else. You don't have to watch it on TV. They put it out there in several different ways.
I have yet to see it.
You've yet to see it. I recommend it. I recommend seeing it. Because one thing that happened was a car ride that Brett Veach was taken to the stadium at 4:30 in the morning, and I got a couple things out of this his talk here that I found interesting. This is Brett Veach on a car ride from The Franchise to the stadium at 4:30 in the morning.
It's amazing how fast time goes. It seems like yesterday we were playing the AFC Championship game, and you snap your fingers, and here you are, the start of OTAs. I remember when we first got here in 2013 and trying to attack free agency and approach players with this plan and this vision we had, but then to come from where we started in 13 to, you know, kind of where we are now, and players are calling us wanting to come here. And I think that's a cool thing for our franchise and our city. So it's just been a cool process to see this thing from where it started to where it is now. It really never stops. Well, it's 4:30 in the morning, and I can almost guarantee you I won't be the first person here in the morning. If there's one thing I could certainly bet my life on is that Coach Reed will be here. I swear the guy says he goes home, but I don't think he goes home. It doesn't matter if it was 4:10, 3:30, 4:15. His car is always the first one here. And I'd like to say I've beat him to the office, but over a decade, I'd probably count on one hand how many times I actually beat him in, because it's near impossible.
It's impressive. Beat a younger guy than Andy Reid. Andy Reid, offseason. This is in a decade, probably less than he can count on two hands how many times he's beaten Andy Reid. So that was one of the two things I got out of it. But I do find it interesting that, you know, Coach Reid doesn't have to be there that early, but he is. He's always working. Reid wants this Super Bowl bad. He wants it bad. It's evidenced by in the offseason, you know, the kind of mentality of the Chiefs coaching staff. That's how bad they want it. So I find that interesting. But the other thing I found interesting was what he was saying about how that players call him now. Players want to come play for the Kansas City Chiefs. That's none other than the Patrick Mahomes effect. That's exactly what that is. And again, we talk about, you know, him going back and forth with different players around the league on Twitter. They want to come play for Pat. Now, with the money being equal, the Chiefs have the upper hand because of Patrick Mahomes. And I felt when Peyton Manning decided to come back and play for the Denver Broncos, it was John Elway. Because the Chiefs wanted him, other teams had wanted him. But the John Elway factor did work. And right now, it's been John Elway's biggest move. Got him a ring because he was able to bring in Peyton Manning, which led to Aqib Talib, DeMarcus Ware, T.J. Ward, you name it, because people wanted to play for Peyton Manning. And the Honey Badger actually told me and Pete Sweeney this after his press conference, the phone calls he would have with Pat Mahomes.
I spoke with Pat. I spoke with Pat over the phone. He's probably been the guy I've been speaking to the most. And, you know, his whole thing is, you know, I got offense. I just need a guy to come in and really lead the defense in the right way. And that'll be my job. That'll be my task amongst a bunch of other things. But I think ultimately it's really coming and giving this team a defense a sense of who we are.
The Chiefs are the fun team to play for at this point. I think the fans make it fun. Arrowhead is looked upon as I'm biased, the best place to play a game in the NFL. Seattle would have a say in that. Green Bay would have a say in that. But definitely Arrowhead Stadium is a bucket list item. You know, you'll talk to other fans from other fan bases that fly into Kansas City. Now, obviously, there are people that live here that are fans of other teams and wear other jerseys out there. But if people are making the trip, they always circle Arrowhead. I mean, when we play the Bills here, there's a ton of Bills fans. They all go to Al's Wings up on 64th Street and meet, but they want to come to Arrowhead Stadium. They'll see Arrowhead as a road opponent for their team, and they want to come to a game at Arrowhead Stadium. Like a lot of people like going to Wrigley Field. If their team's playing interleague against the Cubs or playing the Cubs, they want to make that trip for a road game. But Kansas City is fun. With Mahomes doing the things he's doing, the fact you're on the doorstep of a Super Bowl, Andy Reid has a tremendous amount of respect by players all around the league. I mean, it's amazing. When Andy Reid got here, immediately these players were talking about the respect they had for Andy Reid. And all he did is take a team that went 2-14, start the next year 9-0. It's insane what Andy Reid did with a team that, let's face it, was nowhere near the roster they have now. He goes 9-0 with a team with nowhere close to the roster he's got now in Kansas City, nowhere near the quarterback. Alex Smith was a good quarterback. He's not Pat Mahomes. And yes, this is the place. If money is the end all be all. And if someone's willing to break the bank for you, you'll go play in Cincinnati. You'll play wherever. I would say Cleveland, but Cleveland looks like it's a fun place to play at this point as well right now. But with all things being equal, you go play for the Giants or the Jets or the Dolphins, whoever, if the money's there. But if the money's around the same, you may take a little bit less because you're here chasing a ring because you want to be part of the fun that is the Kansas City Chiefs. That looks like they're having fun, and they win, and they've got a coach that people want to play for in Andy Reid. And I think the Andy Reid effect, I think the Pat Mahomes effect, I think it does bring in people. What I found that interesting, guys are calling us now. You want to be a Chief. It's an easier sell. Scott Pioli once told me in an interview back when he was the GM here, you know, when they would try out and bring guys here in free agency, they had to lay it on, like colleges do for recruiting. You know, show the wife, the school districts and all that, what Kansas City has to offer. Kansas City has a lot to offer. Number that, housing. You could be on a golf course here for, well, more money than I have, but reasonable compared. You could be on a golf course here in a 5-bedroom house, 3-car garage or 4-car garage, what a flat will cost you in New York City. Now, some states without like in Texas, you know, they don't have the taxes, it is an attractive place to go play. But Kansas City, the cost of living, not much. You can win a ring. And not only that, you're playing in front of college-like atmosphere at each and every game. It's one of the first things guys say when they call in for their press conference after they're drafted with the Chiefs. They'll talk about the barbecue and things like that, which certainly that doesn't hurt the fact that Kansas City is a good-smelling city and has great barbecue. But they talk about the fan base. They get juiced. They get jacked up to be at Arrowhead Stadium. It's something they want to do is run through the tunnel here. And the fans, it's a collective effort. I think the fans make this a fun environment to come play. I certainly think Andy Reid and the head coach, you know, this has been a good football team since Reid's been here. Reid doesn't lose. Reid has winning records. Reid wins. So you get here and you win and you have a quarterback that's out here having fun, one of the faces of the National Football League, and all of a sudden Kansas City becomes that attractive place that you want to come play for. It's like the Royals in 14 and 15. It was fun. It looked like they were having fun. The Royals were having a lot of fun. A lot of good dudes. People wanted to be a part of that. You know, if you're going to make the money, go somewhere where you can win. I don't know. I just look at the Chiefs as this organization that's having fun. I think a big catalyst is your quarterback out there throwing the ball out of the stadium, whether he threw it through a tunnel, over the scoreboard, or whatever he did. It was still a hell of a throw. But he's just out jacking around, having fun. This is something you don't see in a lot of other places, the interaction that he has with other athletes. And not only that, Pat Mahomes is always on Twitter when, you know, he had a picture of the honey badger when the reports were, before it was even officially announced from the Chiefs, you know, the picture of the honey badger on Twitter. Anyway, he goes back and forth with players on movies. He makes them feel welcome. You know, something that Big Ben is criticized for in Pittsburgh, that it's all about Big Ben. You know, he does a radio show where he will criticize his teammates or whatever. You don't have that here. In Cleveland, you had the whole Duke Johnson, Baker Mayfield deal. Well, even though I think Baker was deep down right about Duke, but he still spoke about it, like, you don't be here, don't be here. Like, I agree with that, but you can't say certain things without players on your team. But this is like a family atmosphere in Kansas City. And, yeah, I did find that interesting. The plan they laid forward in 2013 is much different than it is today. And the Pat Mahomes effect, whether it's on the field, it's certainly a huge effect off the field as well with what he's been able to do. People like having a good time. They like having fun. And certainly Pat Mahomes has provided that atmosphere. Andy Reid provided atmosphere. Now, don't get me wrong. Andy Reid's a tough coach. He's a very tough coach. He expects you to know what you're doing. Guy's showing up at 4:30 in the morning. He's outworking you. Your head coach is outworking you. It's just a bunch of dudes that, as soon as that season ended, were hungry. And I love it. I love the fact that Andy Reid's chasing that ring. I love the fact that Brett Veach wants that ring. I love the fact that Patrick Mahomes won't rest until he's got several. That's the kind of killer mentality we've needed in this town. And I like the changes on defense and what they're doing going forward. Coming up next, since we are so close to training camp, a couple of the position battles I'll be looking forward to. Talk about that next.
Big Sunday.
Welcome back to Big Sunday. Jay Binkley, Kramer, Frame Dog, producing the operation. Till Cody Tapp gets you rolling about 29 minutes from now on Cody's On Deck show as the Royals go for a sweep over the Detroit Tigers. Already had them in the standings. Royals are no longer in last place. Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, tweeted this out back on July 11th. It's a picture of him and Spags. It's a beautiful thing when your coach has faith in you. Was he trust you to lead you with his group when he is willing to put you in the best positions to thrive? One of the many realist reasons. So there's the Honey Badger talking about his new defensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo. So far, so good. The guys really seem to like him because of the individual attention he gives to the players. And I'm looking forward to that, too. I'm looking forward to training camp. The wide receiver position group is interesting to me. It'll be interesting to see what if Tyreek Hill will be here on day one or not with this team. I do expect him in training camp. If I'm the NFL, I don't even know if I even give him a suspension from all the due details we have, but you never know when you're dealing with the NFL whether you get something like a suspension or not. Three suspensions were handed down Friday. Tyreek Hill was not one of them. They need to make the decision quick. Again, training camp starts here in a little over a week, but the wide receiver position is interesting to me. Jamal Custis, undrafted free. There will be an undrafted free agent make it on this roster. Jamal Custis, $100,000 a year, signing bonus, probably a practice squad guy for the Chiefs. Garrett Dieter is a guy to watch. Did he make any progress? You know, they need that over-the-middle type of guy with this team. Mecole Hardman, see what he's got, the 4.33 speed at the combine. See what he can produce with Tyreek Hill. I mean, that is some burners on the field. Travis Kelce in the middle, Hardman and Hill. And that's the one thing about Tyreek Hill that makes him so dangerous for this team. It's not only what he's doing with the ball in his hands, but it's what he does with it off of it. The way that people flow, the defense has changed what they're doing. Put Tyreek in the backfield, and all of a sudden that changes things. Put Tyreek in motion, changes things. Gets eight guys out of the box. The running backs prosper because of guys like Tyreek Hill, which I think even helped even make Travis Kelce even a better tight end because of the attention that he would take. And that's something to consider. Bill Belichick, you know, made it a plan to stop Tyreek Hill. That was his goal in the AFC title game. And that's all right. If you take him away, Sammy Watkins had a good game. Had over 100 yards. Will Sammy Watkins step up and be that guy? He might have to be the number one for 1 or 2 weeks or more. It depends on the Tyreek Hill situation. Again, it's up in the air. That's really the only thing up in the air. Marcus Kemp, a guy that made this roster. Byron Pringle, that's showing some good things from Kansas State. DeMarcus Robinson, a guy that I'm expecting to take that Chris Conley type role. He's not going to light it up, but he still provides that deep threat down the field. And don't forget about Cody Thompson, undrafted free agent from Toledo. Played with Kareem Hunt when he's with Toledo. Michael Roberts, very good Toledo team that he played for, but he's extremely good, and he's turning some heads at training camp. Again, undrafted free agent. I think Veach has assembled some nice guys to come in here and compete being undrafted. You know, last year, Darrell Williams from LSU makes the team. You know, we're talking about the running back position, and we talk about Darwin Thompson, what can he do, the draft pick, 1,000 yards last year at Utah State in his 1 year. At Utah State, 23 catches, 351 yards. They bring in Carlos Hyde, hoping to get the production they got that Carlos Hyde provided a couple years ago, not only running but catching. And then Damien Williams has been slotted as the starting running back for this team. Then there's guys like Darrell Williams that made this team last year as an undrafted free agent out of LSU. Look at his numbers. More yards per carry than even Darius Geis at LSU. So the running back position intrigues me. The wide receiver position intrigues me. The undrafted free agents intrigue me. Jack Fox, the punter, intrigues me. Here's the guy that's been on the Ray Guy watch list. Chiefs bring him in. They like him. They like what he provides, 45 yards a punt. But again, the Chiefs don't exactly use a punter that many times. And if you keep Colquitt because you want precision inside the 20, you see this is your Super Bowl window, you're willing to spend the money on paying Colquitt and Butker, your kickers, a lot of money, which they can afford it. Veach has done a nice job with the salary cap. But the wide receivers, to me, is interesting. The running backs is interesting. But not only that, the tight end position, tight end number two. Demetrius Harris is gone. I like Demetrius Harris more than a lot of people did because you saw him drop the football a lot. But he did catch it in the clutch when they went to Demetrius Harris, and he did get better each and every year. Now, he's been outspoken. He told the Cleveland Plain Dealer he wants to show the Browns how to win. Good luck with that, Demetrius, because I think the guys like Odell Beckham and Baker Mayfield and stuff like that can do it. But the tight end two position, Chiefs like multiple tight ends. They like two and three tight end sets at times. You know, what will they do? Who will make the team? Will Deion Yelder be the second string tight end? They bring in Neil Sterling in the offseason. Blake Bell, the Belldozer, the former Oklahoma quarterback here, is here as a tight end because that's what he's played in the NFL. The Chiefs got several different things they're trying. And the one thing about it is tight end two is important because Kelsey's coming off the surgery in the offseason. But you still need a backup tight end. That's why Demetrius Harris found himself open in clutch situations like two-point conversions or whatever because no one covered him. They were all looking at Travis Kelce. Are they going that direction? So I do think that tight end two is an important position for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I haven't even got to defense. I haven't even got to the corners, the linebacker situation, how they're going to manage the 4-3. If Damien Wilson is your Sam, middle linebacker Reggie Ragland. Reggie Ragland saw his time on the field diminish towards the end of last year. He was drafted to be a 3-4 linebacker with the Buffalo Bills. Rex Ryan was there. They get rid of Rex Ryan. They switch to 4-3. He's traded to the Kansas City Chiefs. So that situation, I do think Anthony Hitchens, who did, by all accounts, even him, had a down year last year, but it was a scheme. He did finish fifth in the NFL in total tackles. Then you bring in Darren Lee, who was very good against the pass, to be that fourth linebacker in a 3-4 scheme. Plus, you'll see the Chiefs in nickel situations. You'll see the Honey Badger out there. Honey Badger played six different positions, although in Houston, he played actually more than that. But there are certain things, and I haven't narrowed it down yet. I do want to see the linebackers, do want to see the secondary. I do want to see some Juan Thornhill. But the wide receivers are interesting to me because that matters. Patrick Mahomes' weapons. And again, Hardman is the only weapon we've seen drafted for Patrick Mahomes. It's very odd when you have a team take a quarterback in the top 10 and you basically spend two drafts and have one component for him. But they had to do it. They had the fortunate ability to be able to draft defense and not concentrate so much on offense. But I do think we'll be talking a lot about it. We'll be talking about Carlos Hyde and Darwin Thompson. We brought on Matt Lane, and he's looking at Kyle Shermer, Chase Litton, third-string quarterback. And that's good if we're down to that, but I think there's more important things than just the offensive line. Looks good. Andrew Wiley's ready to take that step. And we're not worried about the offensive line, which is crazy. We're not worried about it. Austin Ryder stepped in as starting center last year. A guy that had never started in the NFL but one game when he filled in for Cam Irving in Cleveland. And tore his ACL. But he steps right in here, and they draft Nick Allegretti. You know, a guy in the seventh round, they think that Andy Reid has personally talked about as being a guy. Look for that to be a position battle. But the wide receiver position to me means more than anything else because this is Pat Mahomes' bread and butter. This is a 5,000-yard passer and 50 touchdowns. Who's going to step up? The ball can't be thrown to everybody. I expect Hill and Watkins to get theirs. Who's the next guy? Is it Garrett Dieter? Is it Byron Pringle going to take that step? He was looking good till the hamstring and the hernia last year. Cody Thompson, everybody's talking about, the undrafted free agent out of Toledo. Marcus Kemp. I mean, there's going to be guys cut from this team, cut from this roster, that are good NFL players. And then John Lovett, who's another interesting one as well. He was the quarterback at Princeton that the Chiefs kind of want to move around in the different places, like an H-back type of situation, like Taysom Hill down in New Orleans. So I think there's some fun stuff with the Kansas City Chiefs, but wide receiver and running back position to me is the top of the charts, followed closely with corner and linebackers up in St. Joe. But I do think it is interesting. It is nice that we're not going to St. Joe worried about Eric Fisher. Eric Fisher's proved he can play. Not worried about the quarterback position. There were years we'd worry, do we have a number one or number two wide receiver even? And we clearly do. Well, the only thing we're worried about now is our number one wide receiver going to play right away for the Chiefs. That stuff matters. Coming up next, Bubba Starling made his debut this weekend. You can go still see Bubba out at the K this weekend. They'll be home this week against the White Sox as well. We talk more Bubba next.
Big Sunday.
Welcome back to Bink Sunday, Jay Binkley. Kramer, the Cream Dog, producing the operation. Nick Price has made an entrance into the building. He of Out of Bounds fame with Dusty Likens yesterday, 12-3. You know, I listen to the show all the time, Nick. I enjoy you and the Dust Man. I enjoy the whole live and local. Brandon Kiley at 10 till noon every Saturday. Then you guys for 3 hours, followed by Uno Cero and Jillian Carroll and Julio Sanchez till 5. This is a Royals game. I'm digging this live and local. Except we forget I do live and local 10 to noon on Sundays.
It's way better than listening to like Boston Sports Talk or whatever Boston? You would have been listening to.
Boston?
Some Boston, some New York Sports Talk, the sports bettors.
What'd you think of Starling's debut?
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, this was like one of the biggest debuts that I've seen in a while. It's not every day that you have a player that the casual fan knows about before they make it to the big leagues. And this was one of those situations. We've been talking about Bubba Starling coming up for 8 years now.
That's the one thing too. And I heard you guys talking about it yesterday, and I find it interesting. Just kind of everybody's opinions on it. And in Bubba Starling, this town was excited. It was, no matter where you went, whether you're at the stadium, the over 4,000 walk up people, whether you're in a bar, a restaurant, whatever it was, when Bubba came to the plate, people stopped and they watched it. They wanted to see what Bubba did. And to me, Nick, it was more of an Excel moment. Like, you Excel, like, oh, he's finally here. Instead of like when Hosmer moves, like, let's go. Let's go. Here's these pieces. You know, the Royals have seen success. They've got the rings. You're not saying, will Bubba bring us the start? Like we're saying with Patrick Mahomes. Will Patrick Mahomes bring us a ring? Will he bring us a Super Bowl to Kansas City? No one's asking that of Bubba Starling. You know, that ship has sailed. It's about people in this town, I think, rooting for him more than anything. For me, it was a sigh of relief. Finally, Bubba's here. Saw this kid play a ton in high school. I know he's been through the ups and the downs and a lot of downs along the way with his hitting, but he finally got here. And to me, when he stepped on that field in his hometown with his hometown people watching him, only the 20th Royal ever to grow up here, play for the Royals. Because a lot of guys, like Jason Adam, you know, Blue Valley Northwest, he from Kansas City, went to high school here, but it was not the same as Bubba Starling because people knew Bubba's name. That's the biggest difference to me. Did you know about Bubba when you were in high school?
Yeah, I mean, I went to Blue Valley North at the same time that he was at Gardner-Edgerton.
Oh, so about the same age?
I saw him throw a dunk off the backboard in our home court in the stable out at Blue Valley North. But I think that you put it pretty perfectly about it, like an exhale. I think that everyone was feeling, you saw that shot of Bubba's parents during his first at bat, just absolutely tense. I feel like that's how everybody was feeling. And then, you know, he gets on base with a walk, he scores the run, and then last night he obviously gets his first major league hit in RBI. You're like, okay, now we can just see what this kid's got.
Call-ups are fun when you see the parents because they realize the struggle, you know, the ins and outs, taking them to practice every day, you know, sometimes working one, two jobs, whatever it is. And I'm not saying just Bubba in particular, but just different parents that spend all the money. Baseball is not a cheap sport. You get these summer camps, you get the travel leagues. I met somebody one time at McDonald's. This is from, like, Iowa. You know, they had the Suburban painted, you know, hey, go whoever the team was. It's what they do. They don't have lake houses. They don't have season tickets. They spend money on baseball. Like, the time and effort and money spent, you know, to see those dreams realized, like, call-ups are cool. But when it's a guy like Bubba, because, again, there's been guys play for the Royals. There's been 20 of them now with Bubba that grew up in Kansas City that actually put on a Royals uniform and play. But with Bubba, it was different because you knew who he was. He was on the front page of the sports. You knew Bubba the football player. You knew he was a star. He excelled in football and basketball and baseball. Although I think most people in this town knew Bubba Starling from football. Unbelievable football player in what he could do. And then the questions were, was he going to still go back and play football? Is he going to go Brandon Wheaton, Chris Winkie route? Is he going to play in the minor leagues and then go play college football? That was the thing with Bubba. But the one thing about it is, it was just different to me. It was an exhale moment. Like, ah, he's finally here. Like, I felt good. Now, I'm sitting here saying, oh, well, Bubba, take us to the promised land. Will we be that next guy for the Kansas City Royals? No, I'm looking at Mondesi to be that guy. You know, Witt's doing some crazy things. I mentioned, you know, the Crane Dog with David Holtzman. 116 games now. He could be the first major leaguer to lead the league in hitting two straight years since right-handed hitter since Kirby Puckett. It's unbelievable. The Royals have some good storylines going, and you know, I've heard the players talk about it. And I agree with them. They've had some close losses. They've lost the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning quite a bit. They've been there. Last year they got rolled. They got rolled up. But there's promise and hope with the guys in the minor league. Here's Bubba Starling last night after the game about his first hit.
See, when it matters in the game too. I mean,
that means a lot. Actually, I was talking to dude, and I was like, "When did you get your first hit?" And he said he went through a long stress before he got his, and I was like, man, I hope I don't get to that point. But awesome to get that first knock out of the way.
And especially important, too, when it matters in the game, too. I mean, at that point.
Yeah, no doubt. I thought our team did a great job. Obviously, Brad threw the ball so good tonight, and just a great win tonight.
Did that kind of snap the bat a little bit?
It got in on me a little bit, but knock is a knock, so I'll take it. Yep.
Obviously, it's a key moment in the game. Are you guys down?
Just not try to do too much. I think in my third at bat, I had guys on first and second. And I got a little swing happy. So in that bat prior to that, just try to get a good pitch and try to do something with it.
How much fun is it in center field when you see a pitcher throwing first pitch strikes and attacking hitters?
Oh, he was pounding the zone all night. He did an unbelievable job. It makes it easy on us position players. We don't have to do too much out there. So hats off to him. Did a great job.
Good stuff for Bubba Starling. And I was excited to see. I'll be out there this week to see Bubba. Like a lot of people, 4,000 walk up the other day. 27,000 at the K. Again, there are things to watch with this team. Jorge Soler. Where does Jorge Soler stop? You know, how good is this guy going to be? 24 home runs already. I mean, it's fun to watch. It's fun to see. I mean, there's storylines. Whit Merrifield, can he lead Major League Baseball in hitting for two straight years? Last year, the third guy since World War II to lead the league in hitting and stolen bases. Jorge Soler, according to Nick Capel from the Royals, is on pace for 42 home runs and 107 ribs. A combination matched by just two players in 2018. Chris Davis and J.D. Martinez. So that's something to watch. Whit Merrifield's got 11-game hitting streak, 19-game on base streak. He leads Major League Baseball by five hits. Adalberto Mondesi is still money to watch. And he was so good at the end of last year, I'm excited to see it. Homer Bailey. I'm not excited to see Homer Bailey, but I'll be honest with you. When Homer Bailey pitches, I feel good about it. How could you not? Guy's 7-6 this year, 4-8-0. Homer Bailey rebounded nicely. From last year, just getting torn up, but he's been serviceable this year. To me, he becomes a trade piece as well. Homer Bailey can see the back end of a rotation for a playoff caliber team. Is that crazy to say that with Homer Bailey?
No, I think he's a person that could be moved by the 31st.
I do too. I see him as a guy to want to be that way. From the Protein House, Eat With The Purpose text line, never got to this, 69306. Why do Chiefs fans think Arrowhead is a bucket list item? I don't get it. Dallas is. Built a couple years ago. Now, Dallas. Yeah, Dallas looks like a lot of fun to go see. But seriously, it's not just a Kansas City thing. People around the country talk about wanting to come to Arrowhead Stadium. They do. They want to go to Green Bay. They want to see the history of Lambeau. And they want to be here. But I look at this town, and it's a bucket list item, Arrowhead. I'm not a Jayhawks fan at all, even though my guy Nick is. Allen Fieldhouse is a bucket list item for college basketball fans that may not like KU at all. Or go to Duke, Cameron Indoor. Those are Rupp Arena in Kentucky. Those are bucket list items to go to. I think Arrowhead is a bucket list item. There's more history here. Seattle's great. They're loud, not as loud as Arrowhead. I don't look at Seattle in the same way I look at Arrowhead. I know it's a raucous atmosphere. It's very loud. But I don't look at it as like, oh, I got to go to Seattle to see a game. If the Chiefs are playing anywhere on the road, the only place I'd want to be is Lambeau. Although with the Raiders going to Vegas, that'd be fun. It'd be fun to take a Chiefs road game trip to Las Vegas. Now, it might have some luster off of it because the time the Raiders are in the stadium, legalized sports gambling could hit us here in Kansas and Missouri before the whole Vegas. But still, Vegas is a fun town. Vegas is a fun town. To think the Chiefs be out in Vegas? Yeah, sign me up for that. I'm with that. But I do consider Arrowhead Stadium a bucket list item in the NFL. And I've said it before. We've got a lot of bucket list item things here in Kansas City. The barbecue here, there's places that would probably be on your bucket list item to come barbecue. Allen Fieldhouse, one of the best venues in college basketball, right on our doorstep. Arrowhead Stadium, one of the best venues in the NFL, right on our doorstep. Children's Mercy Park, where Sporting plays, one of the best atmospheres in Major League Soccer. But it's all right here. And Kauffman Stadium was rocking when the Royals were in the postseason. That place was insane. And I'll never forget it because that wild card game against the A's, the night before, the Chiefs set the noise record against the Patriots. And I was thinking to myself, if that crowd could only come to Kauffman Stadium. It's the same people. They just changed their blue shirts to red shirts. And then they did it. And they made Kauffman Stadium a raucous atmosphere. From the Protein House, Eat With The Purpose text line, Allen Fieldhouse is, KC Joe's is, Arrowhead Stadium is just a good stadium. Sorry, man. I disagree, because Arrowhead is always talked about as a fun atmosphere, a college-like atmosphere. And it's not just because we live in Kansas City and think Arrowhead Stadium is so great. If I didn't live in Kansas City, I'd look at Arrowhead Stadium saying, that looks like a fun place to be. And I'm just going by what people talk about nationally, but what I put more stock into is the visiting fans that come here from other fan bases. You know, we're in the jerseys. We actually have driver's license from the state and city of their team. They come here because they see Arrowhead Stadium on the schedule and they say, I got to go to this game. I got to make this road trip. You know, I got to go see the Chiefs play here. It's like an interleague play when the Cubs show up and the Royals are going to be playing at Wrigley. It's kind of like, all right, I got to go there. I got to go see Wrigley. I got to go see my Royals play at Wrigley. I feel that way about Arrowhead. And I know I'm from here. I know I might be biased, but I don't think I'd have a different opinion if I was doing the show in Boston. I would still give Arrowhead Stadium the credit and want to go to a game there. Huge thanks to Kramer, the Crame Dog, for producing the operation. Huge thanks to Nick for no other reason than a huge thanks to Nick.
Huge thanks to you, Bink.
Huge thanks to Matt Lane from ArrowheadPride.com that joined us talking Chiefs. Again, 9 days away till quarterbacks and rookies show up. That, my friends, is completely ridiculous. Cody Tapp gets you all set for the Royals and the Tigers. Cody Tapp live at Gate 8 in left field at Kauffman Stadium. He comes up here in just a few short minutes, so give Cody a listen. See you guys later this week.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.